dedicate the learning of Zechan Nishmas of Isha Chanom Basmeye. Okay, the first two simonim in the second chelik Yoredeyas in the Kufi Beis and Kufi Gimel are about Pasakum and Bishalakum. The Gemara points out that there is a prohibition of intermarriage. A Jew is not permitted to marry a non-Jewish person. There are two forms of intermarriage. If a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, this is Yehorig Valyavar. That's how the Ramah Paskins and Yerudeya, Simkuf Nimzayim based on a Mohammed. As opposed to the other direction, if a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, that's an Avera, that's like Chazer. That's not Yehorig Valyavar. If a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, the minig always was that the family would sit shiva. That was considered the equivalent of shmat, because the children will be non-Jewish. It's considered as if that's the end of the line, that the children will not be Jewish. So the Chachamim were very concerned about intermarriage, so they introduced a lot of prohibitions. So they introduced the Yisr Pasakum and Bisholakum, and they introduced the Yisr of Stam Yenam, you're not allowed to drink Goyisha wine, because of Mishum Chasnus. Then the Gemara says, once they introduced it already, so they added on Pasakum and Bisholakum are only Yosef Bachila and Muta Bahano. And Stam Yenam should also be Yosef Bachila, Yosef Bishti and Muta Bahano. Once they introduced the Yisra already, so they threw in an added consideration. Maybe the Nochri was Manasach the Yain Lavoy the Zorah, so they said, let it be also Bahano as well. So Tosis points out, for the Hashash that the Nochri was Manasach the Yain Lavoy the Zorah, and then he's going to let me drink it, that's very far-fetched Hashash. If it's Manasach the Lavoy the Zorah, how would he allow a human being to drink it if it's really an Lavoy the Zorah? So for that alone, they wouldn't make Exerah. That's a Milsad Lashchich, they wouldn't make Exerah. But because they had to make the Gzerah because of the Chashash of Chasnus, so that's why once you make the Gzerah ready, so you have a right to add on details, even though the details are because of a concern that's a Milsad Loshchich. Tosis points out on the Gemara in Beitza and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that these were two different Gzerahs. Pasak and Bishalakim were made at two different times, and the Isser of Bishalakim was earlier. Historically, it was earlier, to the extent that the Gemara thought that it was an Issa D'Araisa. The Gemara thought it was based on a Pasuk in Chumash. The Gemara says, no, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. But it clearly was introduced way before the Gzeira of Pasakum. Rashi on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah adds on an added consideration in Bishalakum. Maybe the Nochri will feed me non-kosher food. Tosfos is Masik and Rashi, they think that that's not the real reason. The only reason is because of Chasnus. They don't think that that's a correct reason. Because the Yisr is because of Chasnus, so that's why Tosfos quotes from the Ravid, and the Tur also quotes this from the Ravid, that if you have a Nochris who's Mshareses Beveso Shal Yisrael, it's highly unlikely that I'm going to marry the daughter or a Jewish girl is going to marry the son of the cleaning lady, of the worker. If you have a next-door neighbor, an independent Nochri who has children, so then if I'm watching the way the Nochri cooks some delicious food, I see all the ingredients are kosher, I see the pot is kosher, everything is kosher, so then there's a hashash by eating the food that he prepared, this may lead to intermarriage. But if it's a paid employee, It's a cleaning lady in my house, or a person, the maid who's helping cook in the house. So the Ravid is quoted, as Tosfos quotes the Ravid, is saying that the Beis Shal Yisrael, they don't think that there's a chashash of intermarriage. Tosfos disagrees with the Ravid. So lechatchila, we certainly don't permit it, even if the Nochri who did the cooking is the Beis Shal Yisrael. And b'di'evit, there's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. So b'di'evit, there is an opinion that if it's a hefsed mamon, so b'di'evit we would be mekel on the food, or it would be machmer on the pot. You can eat the food, but you have to kasher the pot. That's a little strange. Sometimes you have a case that the food is treif, and you don't have to kasher the pot, but you say the food is kosher, and you have to kasher the pot. So the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch explain it's not so strange. As far as the food is concerned, the alternative is, I'm not allowed to eat the food, so I have to give it to the Goya. So I'm losing $20 worth of a steak. I have the Goyishan maid cook the food for Shabbos. $20 worth of flesh goes down the drain. I have to give it away. I sell it to a Goy. Which Goy is going to want to buy my food? So I have to give it away to the cleaning lady for nothing, so I'll be losing the money. But as far as the pot is concerned, that's lechatchila. So as far as the pot, many Rishonim say, as far as the pot is concerned, you should kasha. As far as the food is concerned, that's pretty evident. So there's room to rely on this Ravid. The Gemara says that because the Chumash has a pasuk lo al alechem levado yechiyahu adam, that not on bread alone can man live, but for many, many generations, and our generation in America is not so, for many generations, bread was the staff of life. The main course of the meal really was bread. In Eretz Yisrael, it's still common, and the Europeans have this practice. They'll eat 8 slices of bread in a meal, and they'll eat a little bit of food in addition. But the main meal centered about the bread. So since bread was really important, and the Jews were always interested in getting a job where they can make money. And a baker apparently doesn't make so much money. Bakers are never too rich. So that's why Jews avoided going into the baking business. So you have to have bread in order to live. So the Gemara says that maybe there's room to be mekel. The Gemara says at different times, there were mekel, there were machma, and pas palter. The ol chashash of bishalakam and pasakam is that I may marry the child of the next door neighbor if I'm going to eat the delicious food. But if the palter, if the baker bakes for the whole neighborhood, and the Jews and the non-Jews alike, everybody eats from his bread. So why should I dafka fall in love with his daughter? Mistama, a non-Jew from the neighborhood will marry his non-Jewish daughter. Why should you think that dafka, a Jew, should marry his daughter? So this is a kula in Shulchan Aruch. There is in Pasachim, there is a machlokes, the Mechaba and the Ramo, how far the kula goes. So the Mechaba holds that the only mekel on pas palter, one pas Yisrael, is not available. And when it's easily available, then you should not be mekel. And the Ramo is even mekel on pas palter, even when pas Yisrael is available. And the Achrenim recommend that usually Ashkenazim follow the Ramo. So here they say that more proper is you shouldn't follow the Ramo. You shouldn't really eat all year long. You shouldn't eat pas palter if the pas Yisrael is available. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Shabbos quotes the Pasuk and say that on Shabbos and Yom Tov it's not proper to eat the pas palter. And Aseres Meitshuva, where Machmer on pas palter, you shouldn't rely on the kula of pas palter. Some say because Aseres Meitshuva is like Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's why. The Kpeda starts on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then Aseres Meitshuva, also you treat it like Yomim Tov.
Today, is that commercially baked bread, or you go to a bakery? A bakery would be like previously selling for the neighborhood. That would be pas palter in those days.
Yeah.
Today, there was no such thing as a bakery baked 100,000 loaves a day.
Yeah.
So is that considered by the acronym as any different category?
So there is a machlekes. What about whether this heter a pas palter? The palter means the baker who sells to the public, and not my next door neighbor. Whether this kula is limited only to pas or even applies to bishul, because bishul was an old gzeira, and the gzeira bishul was mochomer. That was considered more serious, that by eating food that was cooked by the nachri, this can lead to intermarriage more so than eating bread that's baked by the nachri. So we pass on the Shulchan Aruch that the kula of palter only applies to pas, doesn't apply to bishul. So the Birki Yosef by the Chidor, who lived in the 1700s, quotes that there were some Achrayim who came up with an idea that Bamedvar Mamurim, when do you say that if there's a, let's say there's a store run by non-Jews, a restaurant where the non-Jews do all the cooking, they have absolutely no chaza, no treifas at all, no fish, only vegetables. They only have fruits and vegetables, so you know that everything is kosher. But it's all cooked by the non-Jews. So the Birki Yosef quotes on Achrayim and say that although we're machmer on bishul by a palter, but if it's in such an impersonal fashion, you have a factory in Pego where they cook the tuna fish, then they sell it all over the world, and we don't even know who the person is who cooked the tuna fish. And if you want to, well, I'm going to fall in love, I'm going to want to marry the daughter of the person who cooked the tuna fish. It'll take me a half a year till I'll find out where the factory is in Pego. By the time I get there, it'll be a different person pushing the button. It'll be a different goy. It'll be very hard to find out. I'll have to save the label on the can to find out who was the goy who was pushing the button at the time that this was cooked. So if it's so impersonal the way it is today, so there's some Achrayim who say that then that's had to gomer. That was never included in the gzera. But we're not maker like that. We assume that even if it's very impersonal, it's still a prohibition of pas of bishol akum. And pas we mekel because it's pas palter. v'mekel, because it's paspalter. The paspalter kula was because al alechem yichyo ha'adam, so really should only apply to bread. But Tosfos in the second perek in Beitza points out that even if you have cake or cookies, you can live without cake and cookies. So you can't really say this word al alechem yichyo ha'adam. But nonetheless, Tosfos says if you would eat enough cake and cookies, that the bracha would have been hamoitzi. So strictly speaking, that's called pas, even though you say bar minim zelis. And you don't have to wash until it's yadayim. Unless you eat a lot of it, then you have to wash and say amoitzi and say birchas hamazon. So, but since if one would have been kaver suda on this cake and cookies, the bracha would have been amoitzi. So that's included in the gzeira of pas akum, and therefore it's subject to the kula of pas palta. So let's say Entenmann's cookies. So that's really that's called paspalter. So the kula is that paspalter were mekel, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Aseres Meitzuv, you're not supposed to eat the Entenmann cookies. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted. He doesn't have this in his tshuvas, but one of his more serious talmidim wrote up in his name that he held that really this kula that the Birkei Yosef quoted and rejected, that if the, like you said, if the cooking is done in such an impersonal fashion, they have a factory somewhere and they supply the whole United States with food. So it's so impersonal that it's even better than palta. Palta is everybody knows who the baker is. He lives in the neighborhood, we know his children, but he sells to the Jews and the non-Jews alike. So that we're makled by pas and we're machmer by bishel. Majenikin, if it's done in such an impersonal fashion, so the Birkei Yosef, the Chidor, quoted such a svarna, he rejected it. And Moshe thought that Mikra Dinah really should have been mutter. The svarna is such a strong svarna. But the reason why the Achronim were machmer is because they felt that you have to make a loy plug rabbanon. So if the form of bishul that they do in the factory is the same as the form of bishul that a next door neighbor would do, next door neighbor has a little pot and he cooks vegetables a little at a time. And the factory has a pot the size of this room and he cooks a ton of vegetables at the same time. So basically it's the same form of bishul, except that it's in volume, it's a much bigger pot. So then you have a loy plug rab on it. But if the form of bishul is totally different, which once in a while it is, sometimes when they do it in such a grand scale, so the whole type of bishul is different. So then they quote in the name of Moshe that he thought lahokel on such a situation.
What would be such a situation?
Pizza.
How do they cook pizza?
It's a bit massive oven. I don't know. And this was a brick oven. Maybe it's a brick oven, supposed to like a little oven.
No, the big oven, little oven. No, that's the same thing. No,
they're all different. They have like the stone, whatever oven. It's supposed to like a normal oven you have in your house. The actual fire.
No, that's the same. Now there are some, I forget already which macholim there are. There are some macholim that when they do it mass production, it's a totally different style of cooking. The Gemara has a few kulas with respect to bishul akum because of the fact that the prohibition is all based on the assumption that it may lead to intermarriage. So the Gemara says, number one, if you have food that's nechel kamo shulchai, let's say you have cucumbers, or you have tomatoes, or you have carrots. In America, we eat carrots raw. So since one could have eaten the carrots raw, you could have eaten the tomatoes raw. So even though they cooked it, and you nenef in the fact I enjoy the cooked food, but you could have had the pleasure eating it nechel kamo shuachai also. So that's not enough of a hanor that you're getting from the fact that the nochri cooked it, that I should fall in love with his daughter, that this should lead to intermarriage. If it's nechel kamo shuachai. Some achrayim want to say in the Rambam, when you look in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, you get the impression as if this klul nechel kamo shuachai is a din deraisa, perhaps even in Hilchos Shabbos. If you cook such a vegetable on Shabbos, let's say in America, people in Europe, they only behemoths ate raw carrots. And the human beings only ate tzimis. They only ate cooked carrots. So carrots would not be nechel kamo shuachai. And in America, carrots are nechel kamo shuachai. The Rambam says that this idea, nechel kamo shuachai, depends on each medina. Let's say sushi. So years ago, who would ever eat raw fish? So fish was always considered nechel kamo shuachai. Now, if enough people eat sushi, so that particular type of fish that they use for the sushi becomes nechel kamo shuachai. That's a discussion. What if the food was cooked in one medina where it is nechel kamo shuachai, and then I'm living in a different medina where it's not nechel kamo shuachai? or the reverse, the food was cooked in a Medina where it's not Nechal, Kamo Shekhai, I live in Medina where it is Nechal. So that's a little unclear. But the Rambam, in principle, the Rambam says that the idea of Nechal, Kamo Shekhai depends on each Medina. The Rambam couldn't imagine a case that they're going to cook the food in one country then sell it on the other side of the world, that he couldn't visualize. So when you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says that there are three forms of Bishul on Shabbos. There's Bishul on fish and on meat, which is not edible, so you have to cook until it becomes Roy L'Achila. Then there's Bishul on liquids, so you can drink the water the way it is. So there, it's not an issue of cooking the water till it becomes Roy L'Achila. You cook the water till it reaches Yad Saletis. And then there's the third category of Bishul, if you cook tar till it melts, or you heat wooden pegs till it becomes soft, or you heat metal till it glows. You heat non-food items until you make a change in it. You make it softer, you make it harder. So that's a third category of Bishul. So the Rambam has the three categories of Bishul on Shabbos: Oichlim, Mashkim, and non-food items. And in Oichlim, it sounds from the Rambam that if you cook a food that's Nechal Kamo Shechai, it sounds like there's no Issa Bishul Deraisim. So that's a Machlek Zachrein, whether that's so. So again, the Gemara says for the purposes of Bishul Akum, if the food is Nechal Kamo Shechai, there's no Bishul Akum. It could be it's a universal din in Hilchas Bishul and called Turku. It could be it's only a din over here. The Gemara in Masech HaShabbos and Daf Nun Aleph, the Daf Yomi people just learned it recently. The Gemara says there that even though the Iker Adin, food that's Nechal Kamo Shechai is Mutter, but if the person is a prominent rabbi, Odom Choshuv, Shiny, he should be Machmer on this. The Gemara has several times, the Talmud Bavli has several times such an idea, that if an Odom is an Odom Choshuv, a rabbi, everybody looks up to the rabbi, they assume he's 10 Madregas higher than they are, and if he does like this, I'm a Balabos, I can do 10 Madregas lower. So if a person is an Adam Choshev and everybody's looking up to him, so he has to be machmer on certain things because it will just follow the strict halacha lahokel on something, so then the Balabatim will do 10 madregas lower, so they will be in violation of the din. The Shach points out in one place in Yeruvah, I think Yerushalmi never has this din of Adam Choshev Shiny. Some point out, some thought that they discovered that the Rambam seems to follow the Yerushalmi on this, that the Rambam, every time the Bavli says Adam Choshev Shiny, the Rambam never quotes, but that's not exactly accurate because the Rambam does quote it in one place. The Rambam in Hilchas Malachim quotes the Dinim. We're all supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not proper that we're living in Chutz L'Arz. Whoever can make a normal panos in Eretz Yisrael is mukhiv to live in Eretz Yisrael. What happens if there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael? So So you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. When there was a rov in the days of Yitzchok, so Yitzchok left Eretz Yisrael. So in Megillas Rus it says that there was a famine, and the family of Elimelech, Machna, and Kilian, and the army, they all left Eretz Yisrael. They were all punished. They all died because they shouldn't have left. What do you mean they shouldn't have left? So the Gemara says, but there was a famine. It's permissible to leave. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra that Adam Choshev Shiny, and there the pasuk says like that. The beginning of Megillas Rus it says that they were Ephrasim. And Rashi translates, Ephrasim Anoshim Chashuvim. So the whole punishment for their leaving Eretz Yisrael was because Adam Choshev Shiny. So the Rambam does quote Adam Choshev Shiny. And the Pasuk seems to say like that. But somehow the Rambam left out, the Rambam often follows the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. There are a lot of difficult Rambams with the Lechem Mishnah has difficulty. Where did the Rambam get this from? You go through the Gemara, it doesn't seem to be the Maskana. So the Lechem Mishnah stands on his head. He tries to figure out a teretz where the Rambam got it from. And the Bi'ur HaGro will often say, no, the Rambam got it from the Yerushalmi. Kadarka Livsika, Yerushalmi Neged HaBavli Bekamim Bekamim. The Rambam often paskins. So it could be like the Shach said over here, that the Yerushalmi never has this idea of Adam Choshev Shiny. And the Rambam left it out. But this one about leaving Eretz Yisrael, that the Pasuk says, that the Ephrasim, the Gemara is interpreting the Pasuk, that they deserve the punishment. If they wouldn't have been Anoshim Choshevim, would have been Mutim, because they were Adam Choshev Shiny, so that's why they were punished. The yeshiva had to be machmer on certain things. Many occasions, shaylos came up, and Dr. Lamb felt that the yeshivas have a status of Adam Choshev Shiny, so they have to be machmer on certain issues.
Would there be an issue of Bishul Akum, like for also for the other category of the Rambam, and Hell's Bishul, something hot, making metal, like forging something? So if your guy would make you, a neighbor would make you some metal object something?
No, no. Their Bishul Lakum is only on food. No, because they're afraid that it says by Yisro, when Moshe Rabbeinu helped out the Bnei Yisro, because the other shepherds were giving them a hard time, they didn't let them give the water to the sheep. So he asked, how come he came home so early? Usually it takes him much longer. So they say, Ishmeitzu hitzu lana be'alvarayim, gam dola dola lana. So Yisro says, kreina lo b'yochalochim, why don't you invite him in to eat food? So Rashi says, shem yisa achas mikem. Invite him to eat food means, if he'll eat food by us, then he may marry you, one of the daughters. No, the way to the man's heart is through his stomach. So it's only Bishul Akam they made the gzeira. They didn't make the gzeira on other things. Then the Gemara has another kula. If the food is ein oil al shulchan malachim. Yeah, what does this mean? So it usually means it's taka cooked food, but they wouldn't serve it in a royal banquet. They wouldn't serve it in a wedding. Except this, let's say, a cheap meichel. Popcorn. Hot dogs. I don't know, something like that. So there's no Bishul Akam on a meichel that will never be served in a fancy bekavadik meal. There used to be a rabbi here in the neighborhood, Rabbi Schwab, who passed away. So he had a brother who lived in Bnei Brak years ago. So he said the first two times he visited his brother in Bnei Brak, he had never heard of the Chazon Ish. Never heard of the Chazon Ish in Europe. The Chazon Ish in Europe was at Tzanua. And the Chazon Ish had a dream that he should go to Eretz Yisrael and he should stop being at Tzanua. So Rabbi Schwab said the first two times he visited his brother in Bnei Brak, he had still not heard of the Chazon Ish. The third time he visited his brother, he used to wait 5 years or so in between one trip and the other. Third time already, the Chazon Ish was world famous. So when he went to Bnei Brak, he went to visit the Chazon Ish, and he heard that Yeskem Shilas. So he had a list of Shilas all prepared. So he visited the Chazon Ish, carried on a cheerful conversation. He said the Chazon Ish was very cheerful with him. And then when he said, is it okay if I ask you some shaylos and halacha? So the Chazon Ish became dead serious, no more cheerful conversation. And he asked one question after the other, and he was just giving manasalabic answers. Osa muta, osa muta. No more discussions, friendly, cheerful type. So he asked him, what's the din of sardines? Is there an isa bishul akum? So he said, osa. Period. No more. No discussion, osa. So then Rabbi Schwab said, but you know, Rabbi Chaim Moshe held that it was mutter. Then he put himself in the middle. So he said, what am I going to tell him? Rabbi Chaim Moshe holds mutter. He has a right to disagree with Rabbi Chaim Moshe. So he said, but you know, Adi Gedolim thought that it was mutter. He didn't say who. So he said, the Chazon Ish said in Yiddish, the Queen of England eats it for breakfast every morning. So he says, the Chazon Ish had a new definition of oil al shulchan malachim. It doesn't mean would it be served in a royal banquet. When you eat Cheerios, the Queen of England eats Cheerios for breakfast also. But it's not a royal banquet. You don't serve Cheerios or Wheaties in a wedding. So the Chazon Ish understood, Ein Oel HaShulch Malacha means that it's such a cheap meichel that a king or a queen would never eat this thing. That's quite a chumer. It's usually not assumed to mean like that. Usually it's assumed that Ein Oel HaShulch Malacha means wouldn't be served in a royal banquet or wouldn't be served in a wedding. So we'll soon discuss how we pass on halacha l'mais. So these are two kulas. The Gemara has one kula, ein ol shulch malachim, another kula, ein anechal kamo shu chai.
Does that change
Medina
to Medina? Like,
it's not
as if you would say that, like, the president or the king of a country would eat kamat anything, then this, I mean, like, if for breakfast he would eat whatever, like anyone else in the Medina, then would it change his status?
According to the Chazon Ish, yeah, it's quite a chumra. It's quite a chumra. So what's not ol shulch malachim? What would the king, what would the president not eat for breakfast? I don't know. Quite a chumer. So then there's the third kula the Gemara has.
As far as the hot dogs?
Hot dogs.
Yeah, so they won't serve big hot dogs, but they serve mini hot dogs at weddings. So is it all one meichel, or is it...
They keep on, right. What they serve at weddings keeps on changing. So years ago, they would never serve mini hot dogs at weddings either. Now that they do, now it became oil al shulchan malach.
So all hot dogs are just mini hot dogs?
No. So they're all the same. All the hot dogs are the same. Yeah.
So all pastas also, because they also serve fancy pastas at weddings also.
Okay.
And they also serve fancy potatoes also, so even french fries also?
Yeah. So we assume that potatoes are always oil al shulchan malach. Yeah. Even though this form of potatoes they wouldn't serve at a wedding, but since they would serve another form of potatoes, so that's the same thing. Yeah.
So what's not every food they serve at weddings?
Keeps on changing. No, it keeps on changing in every generation. You have to ask a chef, what foods would they never serve at a wedding? So they keep on changing. What they do serve, what they don't serve. Then the Gemara in Beitza has a third kula that if you're cooking together two different foods, And one of them is one of them, let's say, is nechel kamo shuvachai. The other one is not nechel kamo shuvachai. So if one of them is ein nechel kamo shuvachai, so there should be a prohibition of bishalakim. But one of the two together, one is an ikar, one is a tofel. The ikar is the food that has a heta bishalakim on it, and the tofel is the one that does not have a heta bishalakim. So the Gemara says, just like there's a din of ikar and tofel and brachas, that you only say a biruch alu ikar, patas atfelo, so too benigir to bishalakum, there's no prohibition of bishalakum on the tofel, only on the ikar. Take, for example, in Shulchan Aruch, they have a discussion of this, let's say, pas palter. So we paskin pas palter is mutter. But pas palter is mutter is only on the bread. So let's say they're going to put, they're going to shmir raw yolks of egg on the surface of the bread. So when they bake the bread, so you have the egg schmeared on the outside. So when you eat the bread, you only say hamotzi. You don't say shahakal on the egg that schmeared on the outside because you have an ikar and a tofel. So just like you don't say a brach on the tofel, so too, even though there's an isa bishalakam on eggs, but since the eggs are tofel to the bread, so there's no isa bishalakam on the eggs. Since on the bread there's no iser because it's pas palter, so there's no iser on the eggs either. You wouldn't say what? No. The Gemara says that if it's only a tofel, so there's no prayer. The din of bishalakum was never instituted. They only made the gzera bishalakum on the yikr. They never made the iser on the tofel. Then the Gemara has another kula, a fourth kula, that. If the dochi was not niskav in levashil, let's say for some reason or another the dochi wanted to burn down a house, I don't know, in order to collect insurance or whatever, the house was full of bed bugs, they're burning down the whole house, and when he burned down the whole house, so there happened to be some fish there, and the fish became baked, but he wasn't interested in baking the fish, he was interested in burning down the whole house. So even though the fish became baked by the Nochri, but there's no Isa Bishalakim because he wasn't niskavein Lavashim. Then there's another Kula, a fifth Kula, which is very questionable. The Ritva quotes this in the name of the Gaonim. The Gemara and the Aruch HaShulchan likes this very much, and all the other poskim never heard of this idea. The Gemara has a Lashon. Is it Oil HaShulchan Melochim Lelapis Bayas HaPas? Is it something that they would serve in a royal banquet, in a wedding, to eat it together with the bread? So the Ge'onim quoted by the Ritva, and the Aruch HaShulchan gets all excited about this. They say that the only prohibition of Bishalakim is if the food is a course in a meal that would normally serve. Let's say you have popcorn, or you have a chocolate bar. That's not a course in a meal. That's a snack. That's a nash, or potato chips. I used to have a charusa. He used to make potato chip sandwiches. But that's a yotze min haklal, that's not normal. Normal, he's now a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, he's a Rebbe in one of the yeshivas. So normal is that people eat potato chips separately and not eaten as a course in a meal. So since it doesn't apply to lapis by a sapa, so the goyim are of the opinion, the Aruch HaShulchan holds like that, the halacha, that they never made a gzeira bishalakam on this.
Any miskavim lavashal only applies if you didn't want to cook at all, or if you, let's say you wanted to cook, but not a specific item. He thought he was cooking hamburgers and found there was an 11th on that.
No. So that's bishalakam, yeah. That would be bishalakam. So what do you do when you have...
What would be the difference between the lack of kavan lavashal versus just a general misasik?
Okay, a misasik. Good, correct.
Is that just an application of the general idea of
okay, good, correct. He didn't realize. No, even if he does realize, but he wasn't interested in. He wasn't interested in cooking the things. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say if you have a chicken and it has hair on the head, so the guy holds the chicken head. Let's say they shechted a chicken. The guy holds the chicken head in order to singe the hair off. The Nochri who's holding the chicken's head by the fire is not interested in cooking the chicken. He's just interested in burning off all of the hair. And then he knows what he's doing. And then it happens that part of the chicken gets cooked because of that. So the Gemara said, there's no isa bishalakam on that, because the Nochri wasn't really interested in broiling the chicken. He planned to broil it later. He planned to cook it later. Even though he's holding it, he sees what he's doing. But since that wasn't his real interest, his interest was to burn off the hair. So there's no prohibition of bishalakam. So the Gedolim in Europe had a policy that even if you have a certain kula in Bishulachim that we don't really accept, we're not makel on it. Let's say this Rav Moshe's kula, that if it's mass produced and sent all over the world, then it's a different kind of bishul. So others are not so keen about Rav Moshe's hetter. Rav Moshe thought that then it should be mutar. There's no Bishulachim. And this kula of the Orch HaShulchan with the Ritva B'Shem HaGa'inim, that whenever it's not a food that's eaten as a course and a meal, it's a snack. So if you have a tzira for both of Tuts Dodim Lahakel, so then the Gdodim in Europe used to be Megal. They used to consider something like a Svek Svek. And maybe the halacha is like the Shita Sagoinim, that if it's not the lapis by Sapas, it's Mutter. And maybe the halacha is like the Birkei Yosef, like Rabbi Moshe said, that if it's mass produced and it's such a different type of a bishul, so maybe then they will never go. Maybe the Gzeirat Rabban does not fly. So this was a practice in Europe. Whenever there would be two tzedorim lahakel, there would be mekel. That's called a tzira fashitas. Sometimes make a tzira fashitas, so you treat it as if it were a svek svek. There is a sefer, we mentioned it the other day, the sefer Chutam Shulosh, that has the more than one sefer Chutam Shulosh. There's a Shalosh Chuvas Chutam Shulosh, has the Chuvas by the three Rashi Yeshiva from Valojina. Yeshiva has Chuvas by Rav Chaim Valojina, and by his two sons-in-law, Rav Lezer Rich and Rav Hillel. People usually only read the first third. Rav Chaim Valojina's Chuvas. They don't. No one ever bothers to read the other two sections. So in Rav Chaim Valojina's Chuvas, he quotes rarely. He quotes a few times things from the Vilna Gaon. So he quotes from the Vilna Gaon that the Gros said, told him he should never make a tzira fashitas. Whatever the din is, on the normal circumstances, that's the din if you have two tzedorim lahakel. If you don't pass like the Gaonim, that the chocolate bar is mutter, and you don't pass like the Birkei Yosef's svara, that if it's impersonally mass-produced, that there's no bishul akum, so why should you be able to be mitzarif them together? So this is the Shitas Hagro, because in the introduction to the Bir Hagron Shulchan Aruch, written by the children of the Vilna Gaon, so they write, and Rav Chaim Volozhin writes this as well, that the Vilna Gaon felt that he had rayas berurah, shein aleihem tshuva, he had absolute clear-cut rayas, and every machlokes that the Rishonim had, he had rayas which way to paskin. So if you have rayas berurah, what the din is? So how can we mitzarf the Shita that we don't accept, or the other Shita we don't accept? It's Baruch Hashem Mishpat Sarayim that the din is like this. But the others, other than the Vilna Gaon, were not so convinced that they had rayas berurah on anything. We follow the majority, or we follow the consensus, whatever you say. So we're not so convinced, absolutely convinced, that the other Shita is so incorrect. So usually people are mitzarif shitas. Same thing, Tarte L'Reyusa. There's a tradition in Hilchas Treifas. If there's a Shaila in Hilchas Treifas and Rov HaPoskim Hol L'Hokel, so we're Mekel. But if you have two shilas that are near each other, and Rov HaPoskim and Mekel on A, Rov HaPoskim and Mekel on B, but that's two strikes against you. So two strikes and you're out. That's called Tarte L'Reyusa. Yeah, you had to be Mekel twice, so that's too much. That's based on arriving in the beginning of Maseches Nida and Dav Gimel. The Gemara Dav Gimel and Manalev talks about Tarte L'Reyusa. So the Gemara is talking about Mikvah Shenindad V'nim Tzachos, called Tar Shenasa Agabav, L'mafrei, everything is Tomei Vadai. But the Raivid developed this idea of Tarte L'Reyusa, and they have complete Svarim in Europe from years ago about Tarte L'Reyusa and Hilchas Treifas. So Rav Chaim Volozhin, and it's true, but quotes from the Vilna Gaon, you should never be Machman by Tarte L'Reyusa, and you should never be Mekel by Tzirif Hashitas. That's the Vilna Gaon, the Shitasa. But he was convinced that he knew absolutely on every Shaila what the din is. So what are you going to be Mitzarf Chumras or Kulas? If the din is not so, the din is not so. But the classical Paskim did work like that. The classical Paskim were never so convinced that the din was the way they thought. There is a fundamental discussion that appears in the Tshuvas Aran. Tshuvas Aran is a little safer. It doesn't have so many Tshuvas. Tshuvas Aran raises an issue. What's the nature of the prohibition of Bishul Akum? Let's say you're not allowed to date a non-Jewish girl. You're not allowed to kiss a non-Jewish girl. You're not allowed to dance with a non-Jewish girl. You may go ahead and live with the woman. So that's an issue of intermarriage. So you're not allowed to eat Bishul Akum. This is like hiskarvus with the Nochrim. Well, no, because of the Hashash hiskarvus with the Nochrim, that's why they declare that this is Macholas Asuris. Would you consider Bishul Akum and Pas Akum, do you consider it Macholas Asuris? The tam hagzera was because of nisuei taruvis mishum chasnus, but the gzera is a gzera of macholas asur. So he say, no, it's not macholas asur. It's a hiskaris b'den ochi. My nafkemina. So he has three nafkemina. So one nafkemina is whether they need shishim or not. Let's say you have a little bishalakum got mixed up with kosher food. So if it's just it's an isa to eat bishalakum, so it'll be bottle chad betray. It'll be bottle beroiv. If you have more heta, then you have isa. You have 51% heta and 49% isa. So that's bottle beroiv. But if you hold it, the rabbanim they declare that bishalakum is macholas asuras. So macholas asuras, there's a din of tam kikur, and you would need shishim. But that's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, and we paskin. There are more paskin. There are more in the shach and the taz. We paskin la'alocha. That's enough with roiv. That you don't need shishim. Why is that? Because it's not macholas asuras. They never declared that it's macholas asuras. Then there's another nafkemina la'alocha. If you cook non-kosher food in a pot, so just like there's a din of tam ki ikir, that you need shishim against it, so the pot will become treif, and you have to kasher the pot. You need hagola. But if you're not allowed to eat the food that's cooked by the nanja because it may lead to intermarriage, but not that the food is macholas asuras. So there's no din of tam ki ikir. Tam ki ikir is only a din. If the food is non-kosher food, macholas asuras. So if you don't need shishim because it's not macholas asuras, then you shouldn't have to kasher the pot. So that the Mechaba quotes a machlokes about that. If the nochri cooked food and you are pot, kosher food and you are pot, and you're not allowed to eat the food, do you need hagola or not? So the two opinions. So the classical, the generally accepted opinions that you do need hagola. So this already poses a problem. It's already a steer. If the din is, the psakam kubala is that you don't need shishim, because you don't say tam ki ikir, so how in the world can you say you have to kasha the trefa pot? It's not a trefa pot. So that's a problem which was worked on. We have such a similar din on Pesach. The Ashkenazim have a meaning that we don't eat kitnias. But we don't say that, we don't have a meaning that Ashkenazim don't eat kitnias, but we don't treat kitnias macholas asuras. So the din is that for kitnias, let's say by mistake, they poured in a little shemen kitnias into food, and you don't have shishim, but you have roiv against it. You pour it into soup. And the soup tastes better because you poured in the shemen kitnias. You can taste it. It's clearly nice and tam. But it's clearly way less than 50%. So we paskin that kitnias is not macholas asuras, and you don't need shishim, is bottle beroiv. Nonetheless, if, let's say, by mistake, a woman cooked, I remember someone once called me up, he came home from the office on Chalamay Pesach, and his wife says, "Darling, look what I cooked you for supper. She made corn on the cob." So he starts screaming, "He made everything treif, corn on the cob is kitnias, you're not allowed to eat corn, pot is treif." So he called me up on phone, he's ready to divorce his wife. So I called him, so I told him, "There's no bali rabbi matzah on the corn, put it away, wrap it up and put it away in the refrigerator and eat it after Pesach is over." And the pot, the din is that he wait 24 hours and then you don't have to kasher. After 24 hours you can use it. The Gemara says, "There's a gzera in a binyom, ota binyom, and a Torah, after a pot, if you cook treifas in a pot, if you wait 24 hours, I mean, I tell you, you don't have to kasher the pot because the bli in the pot is nice and tam l'gam." But the Gemara says, the last daf of Maseches Avodah, they made gzera de rabban, gzera ene ben yomo, ota ben yomo. So they made gzera de rabban, you don't have to kasher. So there's a machlokes achreinim, whether that gzera de rabban only applies if you cook treifa food derais in the pot. What if you cooked only treifa food med de rabbanon in the pot? You're going to make gzera ene ben yomo, ota ben yomo, if you only cook treifas de rabbanon. Maybe that's a gzera l'gzera. So the shach holds, the shach doesn't even prove it. The shach just writes two lines, a brief shach, on his own, has no makaris. He says, it doesn't make a difference whether he cooked treifas the rice or treifas the rabbanon. There's a gzera ene ben yom ata ben yom. On the side of the Yeridea, so they tell you to look, Rav Shlomo Eger tells you to look in the Nadi Yehuda. Nadi Yehuda disagrees with the shach, and he claims he has a proof from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the gzera ene ben yom ata ben yom was only made if you cook treifas derais in the pot. If you cook treifas derabanan, then there's no gzera. So we don't follow the Nadi Yehuda, we follow the shach. That even if you cook treifas derabanan, there's also gzera ene ben yom ata ben yom. But if they cook kitnias in the pot, kitnias is not even an isa derabanan, it's only a minig. So whenever something is only osa mitam minig, so the shach himself writes late in kuf lamet ches or something, the shach in the second chelik yeredeh, when the shach writes mefurish, if you cook treifas, that's only osa mitam minig, then there's no gzera ene ben yom ata ben yom. So kitnias is also like that. if by mistake you cook it, it's a Pesach, you don't have to kasher the pot, you just wait 24 hours and then you can use the pot without a gom. So the question begs itself, if kidneys is bottle bereiv, the Rama says you don't eat shishim, it's bottle bereiv, so there's no din of tam ki ikar, because we have a meaning not to eat kidneys, but we don't declare that kidneys is macholos asuras. So if it's not macholos asuras, and therefore the din of tam ki ikar doesn't apply, so why do you ask the pot even within the 24 hours? The whole din of lias kalim is based on tam ki ikar. The Gemara is trying to ascertain whether tam ki ikar is a din derais, a din derabbanan. So the Gemara proves it from gil deklay midyon. And the fact that it says in the Chumash you have to kasher the treif of pots that they cooked from the Midian army, so you see that tam ki ikar is there. I said, but if you hold there's no tam ki ikar on bishul akam and there's no, you don't need shishim, and there's no tam ki ikar on kidneys, you don't need shishim. So why do you ask for the pots? So that's a pellet. That's a pellet. So the answer probably is if the achrayim talking about, the answer probably is once they made the gzeira ena ben yoma ata ben yoma, they made the gzeira you're not allowed to use the treif of pot even after 24 hours. Even though it's not going to answer anything, because the bli in the pot is nice and tam l'vgan. So they made a chumra mid the rabbanon that you're not allowed to use a treif for pot, even if it's not going to make treif. So once they made that gzera, so included in that gzera was that even if the food that you cooked is a food where you don't apply tam ki ikar, it's kidneys, or it's bishalakum, it's not macholos asuras at all, still, you're not allowed to cook in the pot till you kasher. So we're machmer on that. So again, so the Tshuva of the Ran, the Tshuva of the Ran, he puts together three things. He doesn't make a distinction. He puts together whether you need roiv of shishim, whether you have to kasha the kelim or not. And the third thing is, we have a klal in the Gemara in the beginning of Behem Ham Kasha. Trefa eino chazeres lehechshera. Let's say, for example, an animal develops a trefus, has a broken leg, if it's in the right place. Sometimes if you have a broken leg from that point on, you're not allowed to eat the bottom of the leg. And sometimes if the leg is broken in above in the thigh, above the knee, so the whole animal will be a trefa. So let's say the animal broke a leg in such a way it's a trefa. Then they take the animal to surgery, and the doctor does surgery, and he heals it. And now everything is better. So there's a machlekes, the Rosh and the Ramban, on Perek Behem Amkasha, where the trefa chazeres lachshera, a trefa ena chazeres lachshera. When you learn Perek and the trefas, it seems to be a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. So we usually follow the Tosfos and the Rosh, the Trefa, the Gemara seems like that. Trefa, ein achazeres nachshir. Once the Zanisa Machol, let's say I cooked meat with milk, and I cooked so much milk that I can taste the flavor of the milk. Let's say I'm cooking meat, and I pour in 2 drops of milk, and such a big pot of meat, you can't even taste the flavor of the milk. There's bottle b'shish. So it doesn't become basa b'cholav. You're not allowed to do it lachatchila. But if you dropped in a little bit of milk and a big pot of flesh, it doesn't become basa b'chol. What if I cooked a lot of milk with the flesh and you can't taste it? And then the flesh becomes basa b'cholav. So then I'll cook the meat again in another pot with a lot of water. And I'll get out all the flavor of the milk. Then I'll cook it again, pour out the water. Then I'll cook it again with water, again with water. I'll cook it so many times with water that now if you taste the meat, you won't taste the flavor of the milk. There's still a little bit of milk left, but now it's batel b'shish. So there we say, Chaticha atzma nasis nevela. Once it became basa b'cholav, it doesn't help that I'm going to squeeze out so much milk that you can hardly taste the flavor of the milk. Treif eina chazeres lachshera. That's a din of macholos asuras. Once it becomes treif, it remains treif. So this is a big machlekes in the days of the Rishonim. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If a nochri cooks, let's say, have raw meat, and the cleaning lady wants to do me a favor, so she sees the raw meat on the table, she sees all the ingredients, and she throws everything together in the pot, she puts it up on the fire, and the meat, so if I catch it, I realize it before the meat became roy lachila, so I should turn off the fire and turn it back on again. I turned off the fire, so that's the end of her bishul. Then I turn the fire back on again, so I'm doing the bishul Yisrael. What if the nochri is cooked the meat on the fire, all the ingredients are kosher, she cooked it and the meat is rare done. Some people would eat it. That's called Nechel Kamichel Ben Derusoy. Ben Derusoy was a gangster who was always running away from the police. So whenever he would broil his meat, he would broil it the least amount necessary, he would gobble it down and run away. He was always afraid the police are going to catch him. So he only used to cook at shlish bishul or chatzi bishul or shai l'rashi n'ramam, how much is Michael ben Derusoy? So the Gemara says, on Shabbos, if you cook food ke Michael ben Derusoy, yechayv chatas, that's the shir for bishul. And on bishul akam also, if the nochri cooks raw food till he reaches the point of Michael ben Derusoy, so then it becomes bishul akam. So what if a nochri cooked food ke Michael ben Derusoy? Then the Balabasta realizes what happened. She turns off the fire. That's the end of the pool of the Nachat. Then the Balabasta turns the fire on again, and she leaves on the food. It becomes Mavushal Kol Tzarkai. So that's a machlok. Is these say it's already Macholas Hasuris, it's Nesar. And whenever you have a trefe, ain't a chazeres lachshera. So the fact that the Balabasta did an act of Bishal on it doesn't make it mutar. He's saying, no, it's not Macholas Hasuris. It's an isati to Bishal Akum. It's like his carvers with the Nachat. It's like dancing, like taking out a goyish girl on a date and dancing with the girl. It's a hiskaris. But if the Jew participated in part of the bishul, so there's no isa hiskaris. So we pass on lacha that is mutta. We pass on if the nochri cooked the food, or the nochri baked the bread, and it's half-baked. It's not. Some people would eat the bread the way it is, but it still has raw sections. It's not fully done. So there's an isa pasakum. But then if the Jew puts it in the oven and he bakes it more, till it's nefer lagamre, or the Nachri cooked the food, Nachri cooked the fish or the potatoes, Nechal Kamaychal Ben Derusai, and then the Jew turns off the fire, then turns it on again, and now it's Mavushal Kol Tzarka, so we pass on that it's Mutter. So the Ran puts all three, the Ran and the Tshuva puts all three together, either you hold that it's Macholos Asuris, but the Rabban, and they hold that it's an Isa Hiskarva. So we pass on the Trefe, it is Chayza Lehetero, and we pass on you don't need Shishim. So we should have paskin that you shouldn't have to do Hagolah either. So that's the Yotzim and Aklala in the Shulchan Aruch, we're Machmer on the Hagolah. The only time the Mishnah Brura is Mekel and Hilchah Shabbos, that let's say you have a Chola on Shabbos, Chola Sheim Bo Sakonah on Shabbos, so the doctors say he can use some chicken soup place. So you give a raw piece of chicken, half kosher chicken that was not cooked yet. So I gave the raw piece of chicken to Anochri, and I asked Anochri, please take vegetables and water and the raw chicken and cook it and make some chicken soup. So that's Bishal Akum. So for the purpose of a Chol Hashem B'Sakana, Amir Anochri is Mutta. That's the Gemara Shabbos, Lav Kuf Chav Tes. Chol Hashem B'Sakana, Amir Anochri V'Yos, Amir Anochri is Mutta. I, but how can a Chol eat the food on Shabbos? It's Bishal Akum. So they were Mata, the Bishal Akum. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that even what's left over after Shabbos may also be eaten. The Mishnah Berurah says over there, he doesn't think you have to kasha the pot. Because it was mutta. It was mutta to have the guy cook the food. You had a hetter for a chodesh and misakana. What's left over after Shabbos, also the others can eat as well. So there he's mekel. But otherwise, the Mishnah Berurah is machmer, like that opinion that you have to kasha. That's the practice now. Whenever there's a company where they cook for years and years, they were in business, they were always cooking kosher food, but it was always bishul akum. So we will insist that you have to do a Hagolah before they switch over to make everything kosher. And the difference now is going to be that it's all going to be done with Bishul Yisra. The Gemara has a kula in Pasakum that if Shkiras HaTanur was done by the Yisrael, means if a Jew lit the oven and the Nochri kneaded the dough and put it into the oven, so the whole Afia was done by the Nochri, but the Shgira Satanu, the lighting of, the kindling of the flame in the oven was done by a Jew, so that removes the prohibition of Pasakum. Then Tosis quotes from a little kuntris, Chilufim in Hogim Shebein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei B'nei Bavel. The whole thing is only two or three pages long. The Maharshal on Chulin in the Yamshel Shlomo quotes the whole thing in one or two pages. Maharshal is big pages, the Yamshel Shlomo. And Chido in his little Sefer, Shem Agdoilim, also quotes the whole Sefer. Two or three pages. Chilufim in Hagim Shebein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei B'nei Bavel. So they list off there, one of the major chilufim is how often do you celebrate Simchas Torah? So in Bavel they used to complete the Kriyas HaTorah every year, and every Simchas Torah they would celebrate the Siyum called Parshas HaShavua. And Eretz Yisrael it took 3 years. So they would have a Siyum on the whole Chamish Ulchum Shetorah, Kriyas HaTorah, once every 3 years. So that's mentioned there in the Chilufim in Hagim Shebein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei B'nei Bavel. Another minig that there was a difference was about Hashlachas Kisim. Has absolutely no mocker whatsoever in the Gemara. That's why many Rishonim are opposed to it. That not only if the Jew lit the flame in the oven, and the goy kneaded the dough, the goy mixed the flour, kneaded the dough, put it into the oven, the whole afia of the pas was done by the Nochri, but the Shgiras HaTanur was done by the Israel. So not only are we makel on Pasakum there, even if everything was done by the guy, the lighting of the oven, the kneading of the dough, the putting into the, everything was done by the guy, but the Jew threw a splinter of wood into the oven. So you have all the logs that the Nochri has, and the Jew threw in a log, or the Jew threw in a kisim, a tiny little piece of wood. So that also takes off the prohibition of pasakum. That's a whopper of a kula, but that says in Shulchan Aruch. Then the Ramah quotes a kula on top of a kula. Oh, so now there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah, the Sfardish Rishonim and the Ashkenazi Rishonim. The Sfardish Rishonim hold that that kula of Hashlochas Kisim, the kula of Shgiras HaTanur, if the fire is lit by a Jew, that takes off the prohibition of Pasakum, only applies to Pas, because Al Alechem Yichya HaAdam, and that kula never applied to Bishalakum. The Ashkenazim HaMekel, that these kulas even apply, the Ramah is Mekel on this, that these kulas even apply to Bishalakum as well. So then the Ramah has a kula on top of a kula, a whopper of a kula, that even if the lighting of the flame was done by the Nochri, but the flame, there is a flame that was lit by a Jew, and the Nochri takes a match, and he lights the match, or he takes a candle, he lights the candle from a flame that was lit by a Jew, and he lights the flame over here. So, Hidlekeish Meish, Hidleka Yisrael, so the Ramah's Mekel on that also. So, that also removes Pasakum, and it also removes Bishalakum. So that's what Dayan Grosnas used to be a Dayan in London. So he has in his Chuvas Leivaria, he has the following kula. If the pilot light, now it's against the law, they don't manufacture stoves with pilot lights anymore. But years ago, when they used to have gas ovens, and there used to be a pilot light that was always burning, and then when you would turn on one of the four burners, so the burner, the gas, would catch flame from the pilot light. So when you move into an apartment, blow out the pilot light and light it again. So whenever any goy is going to light any of the lights, it's going to be Hidlegesh Meish, Hidlega Yisrael. 3 years ago, the Jew lit the pilot light. 20 years ago, the Jew lit the pilot light. So whoever's going to light the burners now is going to be, the Nochri is going to be lighting it from the Eish, Hidlega Yisrael. So Hidlegesh Meish, Hidlega Yisrael, the Ramah is Mekel on that. The Taz is very unhappy about this. This is too much of a kula. Dorach HaShulchan is always a big mekel, but he thinks this is above and beyond. This is such a big kula. This is too much of a kula. So the Taz tones it down a little bit. The Taz says that this kula, Hidlekeish Meish, Hidlekal Yisrael, the goy lit the flame from the pilot light, that also, which was lit by a Jew, that takes off the Bishalakum, that's only if you have a bit sir of what the Ravid said, if it's done the basis shall Yisrael. Let's say you have a Jewish restaurant. You have a Jewish cafeteria in the yeshiva, so the mashgiach comes in the morning, he turns on the pilot light, he lights the pilot light, so then the goyim come later, so it's a Jewish place, the Beis Hashal Yisrael. So according to the Ravid, it's already mutter, and then the nochem ha-hidlekeish meish hidlega Yisrael. But if, let's say, if it's a goyisha restaurant, and they have a hashgacha, everything is on the hashgacha. So it's not the base of Shal Yisrael, the base of Shalakum. You're just going to rely on this kula alone. Hidlegesh Meish Hidlekal Yisrael. The Mashgiach is going to light the pilot light, and then the Goyim are going to light all the lights. So the Taz thinks that it's not right to be Mekel. So there are pizza shops where they are Mekel on this. There are pizza shops where they are Mekel on this. That even though it's the base of Shalakum, many will be Mekel on this from Hidlegesh Meish Hidlekal Yisrael. So there are those who disagree with the Taz. That's the question, is that right to be Mekel so far or not? The Yerushalmi has a suffix whether Bishalakum applies. Yerushalmi has a suffix, Benegir to Bishal on Shabbos, Benegir to Bishal Bas Bechal, Benegir to Bishalakum. In all three cases, what's the din? Whether Me'ushon is Dinukim of Ushal or not, when you smoke something. So smoking means that the smoke comes up and it makes the food. You have raw fish. Lox, let's say, is smoked, or let's say you can have meat, chicken, whatever, you can smoke it. There isn't so much heat. It's not that it becomes roi lachil because of the heat. The smoke makes it roi lachil. So that's a sofek. That's a sofek in the Yerushalmi. So the Bais Yosef says, how do we pass? So when you get to Hilcha Shabbos, it's a din d'oraisa. When you get to Basa B'cholov, it's a din d'oraisa. They were machmer that Mu'ushon is dinuk bishol. But when you get to Bishalakum, since the whole prohibition is only Rabbanah, so when Mekel, the Chachamim only introduced the Gzera Bishalakum on the normal form of bishol. Since Ishun is an irregular form of bishol, so they were never goes. So now there's a machlokes, what if you cook something with steam? You shoot steam on it. Is that dino ki ishon? Is that dino ki bishol mamish? So Chacham Avadya is makel outright on that. He says that the kitor is steaming something that is dino ki ishon. So that's mutter, going to Shulchan Aruch. And others are not so convinced. Kitor ishon means you make it roil achila with the smoking, not with the heat. Masheni kein kitor, if you're steaming something, and make it roil achila with the steam. That's like cooking it in water. So others are not so convinced. So if it'll be, let's say, in a tuna fish plant, in Pego Pego, or wherever it is in Puerto Rico, so it's done in a very impersonal fashion. We don't even know who the chef is. So according to some poskim, that's enough to be mekel on bishalakum. And before they do the cooking in the cans, first they steam all of the tuna fish, and it's really edible after they steam it. The government, it's against the law, against the American law, to eat it at that time because they still didn't kill all the germs. But lemaisa, all the goyim eat it, and the mashgiach also eats it. Everybody nibbles, they're not worried about the germs. So because of this sveksveika, because somehow, chachkom chacham avadya, so it's already nechel kamo shuachai. What they do is they steam first all of the tuna fish, and then they cut it up and they put it in the cans, and then they have a little juice in the cans, and then they put it in a big retort, I think it's called, and the tuna fish gets cooked in the liquid, in the water, in the thing. But since it was ready roi lachila when they did the steaming, so we assume that that's called nechel kamoshu chai, so the bishul does nasa later on. And it was mutter before because of the sveksveka, because maybe according to Chacham Avadya, kitter is already mutter. And we made him feel that kitter is a questionable heta, but it's done in such an impersonal fashion. So there's a sveksveka to be made. Okay. And then next Sunday we're going to discuss what? Forgot it already? Tfilas Kelim. Okay.